So I was outside and I had to switch Wi-Fi, and then my phone went crazy. I only saw like missed call. And I was like, what? I wasn't even getting them. So I just rebooted. So let's go.
So hopefully that works. Let's see. This is the third time we're trying this. There's a 10 minutes episode that is lost, and nobody will ever hear that. But welcome to the Rayados 90 podcast. I'm your host, Eddie. And joining me is Rompas. In those 10 minutes that nobody will ever listen, we were talking about the Columbus Crew matchup. We're going to try to summarize that matchup in like 3 minutes, just so we can move along to the other stuff that we have planned, because I know the other stuff is going to take a lot more time. But let's just move on to the second leg, because obviously the first leg, frustrating, but it was a mixed squad. Not the 2-2 result, even though it's one of those games where like they shouldn't have tied, but you know, MLS defending is MLS defending, and but in that second leg, Maxi Mesa really, really good, MLS defending really, really bad. What were your thoughts?
That's a good Columbus group bad. That's it. Let's go. like we were saying on those 10 minutes, just to do a quick recap, like really quick, we were saying that I wasn't watching the game, and you tweeted out the gifts for the goals. I didn't see Maxi Mesa scoring, but we all kind of assumed that once we got here with the starting 11, that it's much more common to have, we were gonna just wipe the floor with Columbus Crew, because there's a lot of let's say level difference between MLS and Mexican football, because it is what it is. So aside of Celarayan, I don't know anybody, and I don't care about anybody from Columbus Crew. So
just to bring this up, I saw a lot of them really complaining about Monterrey being very physical. Like the Jansen goal, the second one, where Jansen sets it up for Maxi Mesa, where Jansen pretty much, if you want to say an elbow to his face or whatever, they were complaining that there was an elbow, and it's just like, you know, there's some physicality. Like I mean, you just can't, you know, I don't know. I just felt like, there has to be, I don't know, maybe they're not used to like the physicality that we're used to. Like, yeah, there's some dirty play that the refs let go, but I mean, it is what it is. Maybe we're just immune to it. But it's like when I would like look up, you know, I would just, you know, lurk and see, like, they were complaining about a lot of like minor things. You know, it's just like, I don't know, maybe they're just not used to that type of soccer from the way we are.
If you remember that specifically that play, the guy who was like grabbing Jansen first, he was the defender. But Jansen, when he turns around, he immediately fails. Like, I guess that's when the elbow thing happened. But it was not a foul. I mean, it wasn't. If it was, it would have been for Rayados, not against. But the thing is that I think that, as you said, MLS is not used to, because let's face it, MLS has no defenders. So whenever a team goes to attack the other one, they basically find no resistance or position whatsoever. So you're not going to have those type of plays because you have no defender. And here they try to match Rayados. I don't know what it is, like this fuel that they had at the beginning. They try to match it, but it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not saying the Rayados played really good, because we didn't. But we played good enough to beat, I think, that was the champion, the MLS champion.
Yeah, it was. And Monterrey has defeated the champion of the MLS the last two CCLs that they've been in there, whether it's at, and they've been kind of defeated them in like convincing fashion. Like, they beat Atlanta United, I think, was it 5-2 or something like that? I don't remember at the top of my head. And now they defeated the reigning MLS champions 5-2. So it's like, you know, what Monterrey actually has to put in their regular starting 11, they mm-hmm. are superior than, like, it's not like bragging or anything. It's just, you know, the score reflects, you know.
It's facts. I mean, last one, if it was, just you mentioned Atlanta, right? Mm-hmm. So Atlanta got here first, and they took 3-0 home. And then over there, like, Rayados wasn't even trying.
Yeah, no, they had a mixed squad. They had a mixed squad, I remember. It was a mixed squad.
One elephant. But, and even though, again, they, when it comes to, like, when you see the lineups, I remember the Atlanta's lineup with Pity Martinez and the Venezuelan guy, Joseph, I don't know, Joseph something.
Joseph Martinez.
Exactly. They had a good squad. And this one, the Columbus group, it was only Cedarayan. So I wasn't expecting pretty much from that game aside of the fact that it was going to be a blowout.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine that you would score a free kick after, like, well, actually a year. The last time we scored a free kick, we ended up being champions of that tournament. So let's just hope it happens again.
Yeah, they get Cruz Azul in the semifinals, while America gets Philadelphia Union in the other bracket, or the other side of the bracket, on the semifinals, which will take place in August, like middle of August or something like that. I don't have the exact date, but it's in August. But yeah, let's move on. The Liguilla is up next. Monterrey will be facing Santos. They'll be playing in Torreón Thursday, I believe. Thursday, right? And then the return leg is on Sunday. I mean, you can't really take much of that Santos game against Querétaro. It was a blowout. And so you really can't say, oh, well, what's going to worry? You know, what part of Monterrey, or what part of Santos is Monterrey going to be worried about? Because, I mean, it was a blowout and you really can't make much of it. In that first matchup that they had, it was like really early in the season. And I think Santos was the first team that they were able to score on Monterrey. It was just like through a corner kick set piece that they scored, and I think that was the first goal they ever allowed. And so what do you make of this matchup? Because it feels like Santos and Monterrey play every league. Yeah, they're destined to meet in the quarterfinals every year. But what do you make of this matchup? Because I'm looking at the starting 11. I have Javi Alonso's piece on Marca Claro up, and he has like the potential starting 11, and the center backs and the fullbacks. I'm a little worried about that defense, because I know a lot of people were applauding Layún for his efforts against Mazatlán and Columbus Crew. But I mean, you kind of like, as much as I don't want to be a hater, but I don't want to just be like, oh yeah, Miguel Layún's like back or whatever, or he's really, yeah, really good. Because you also got to take into account the opponents that he was playing against. Like, they're not really going to be threatening offensively, so he can push up, he can be a little bit more offensive minded. But now against Santos, you really have to focus, you know, your defending has to be a priority too, because I mean, you have one guy that's pretty old and slow, and then you have another guy that's inexperienced. And so you have Cesar Montes, pretty much the only reliable center back in there, and then you have Gallardo too, who is more offensively minded. This is why I'm a little bit worried about the fullbacks and the center backs. But just heading into this matchup in the first leg, what are you worried about? What are you looking at? Because like I said, for me, the defending is really, really kind of like, I'm nervous about it, but I'm hoping it bends, but it doesn't break. It doesn't allow any goals. It's just, we'll get little heart attacks, but, you know, we'll walk out, you know, not surrendering a goal. But where are you on the defense before we move up to the other parts of the starting 11, or the potential starting 11?
Can you please tell me the starting 11? I don't know.
So, okay, let me pull it up. I have Javi Alonso's piece up here. The potential starting 11 is Hugo Gonzalez in net, Miguel Layún and Jesus Gallardo at fullback, Cesar Montes, Nico Sanchez, and Adrian Mora at center back. So it's going to be a back line of five. In the midfield, you have Celso Ortiz, Carlos Rodriguez, Alfonso Gonzalez, and Maxi Mesa and Vincent Janssen. So it's probably going to be like, you know, 4-5-3 3 or what, a 5-4-1? Something like that. It's Jansen's a lone striker. But yeah, that's the potential starting 11 from Javi Alonso of Marca.
Okay. Well, first, shout out to Javi, a good friend of mine. It's kind of, I think it's kind of bold from Aguirre to use Mora, especially in this scenario when you're going away. But I do understand what he's trying to do. Like, he's trying to contain the three offenders that Santos have because they are only doing that. They're not going back to defend, to the defense side of the match. So I get it. You want to have always one that is always outnumbered, right? Defense from our side, outnumber the offensive line for Santos. But, I mean, even though Mora looked good against Columbus, or Crew, or whatever, how you pronounce it, and Layun did too, you said it just a few moments ago. You have to take notes. You have to consider that was an MLS team. This is Santos. I mean, aside of the 2019 first leg, in all the other legs, we always struggle on the first leg. It's going to be difficult. It's not going to be a work in park. I really, what I do like also is that he's given Jansen an opportunity, which I think he deserves. And as I was saying on the 10 minutes that nobody's going to hear ever, Jansen and Maxi, they kind of understood each other. So I'm just hoping that the center backs and do whatever they can so Santos doesn't have any opportunities to take on goal on Saturday. Because I'm really concerned that this is one of those games.
He's definitely going to have his work cut out for him. He's really going to need to make one or two or three saves, like I said. Or it's like that would have been a goal if it wasn't for him. Because when you look at the back line, it's two guys who are more offensive-minded. You have one guy or one kid that's not really proven it. You know, he has never, I don't know if he played in a Liga game against Toluca or he played in a meaningful game with Toluca. And then you have Nico Sanchez, who is 34, 35 years old. He was already a shaky defender, but now, you know, age is getting to him.
Remember that game against Columbus? The opportunity that Nico gave away? I mean, he looked really, really, really slow, bro. I mean...
Yeah, there's the one against Pantoja where he you know, pretty much shifted the goal.
Yeah, exactly. So, I'm sorry to cut you off, but I have this new proposal of this week that I'm trying to have everybody on board. Like, let's just cut the crap. Let's just forget about Funes versus Jensen, or Celso versus Cranemeter, or Hugo versus Munch. Let's just forget about that for just this idea, and let's just everybody write the same hope, right?
Yeah.
I'm trying to do that, but something in the back of my mind is telling me not to endorse Hugo Gonzalez. I just hope he proves me wrong.
Yeah. No, I mean, everybody's been burnt. You know, last year there were some people who wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt. And then he made a mistake in that game against Puebla where he could have made a save. And then it just goes underneath him. You know, it happened. You know, of course it would go underneath him and he couldn't be able to stop it. And then when you look at other goalkeepers who are able to rise to the occasion, and it just makes people who support Monterrey kind of envious. Since we're not asking for the world. It's just show up when, you know, in the two or three two or three times that we need you to show up, just show up, please. And that's it. Like, we don't need you to be the, to be, you know, making five, six, seven stops where it's like your fate, you know, it's, we're not asking you to be some type of Superman. It's just the three or four chances where our defense might mess up. We want you to be able to save it, because if you know, no defense is going to be perfect. They're going to make mistakes, and mm-hmm. a good goalkeeper can erase your defensive mistakes, and that's what all they're asking for. Was just when Monterrey's defending fucks up, just be there to save it, because you know, in a game like, I'm just spitting a number out of my head. I think watching 90 minutes of Monterrey against a good team, though, there's like three, maybe four chances where it's like, okay, they'll mess up, and we'll see if the goalkeeper can make the save to stop a goal. So we'll see if Hugo Gonzalez can do that. I mean, over 90 minutes, we're just asking you to make three or four quality saves. I think that's not a lot to ask.
And we're not asking, like, to save the impossible ones. We're just asking the ones that we all know you can save, that those ones. Like I'm not asking like to fly and get one ball out of the corner, the top corner with the fingertip.
You mean,
no,
we're not asking him to do that Barovero save against Gignac in the CC, you know, the second leg where he just stretches out and he pulls a muscle or whatever. No, we're asking where it's like the goal against Tigres, where it's like, bro, you got to have quicker reflexes than that. It's not, you know, it's stuff like that. You should, you know, your reflexes should be a lot faster than what they were. But yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, so that's the part that kind of like worries me, but I don't know, bro. I'm gonna go out of the analytic type of thinking that we have to be on whenever we do a podcast. I try to be out of the fan feeling mm-hmm. of it, right? I'm gonna go ahead and be a fan a little bit, and something tells me, I don't know what it is, but something that this happened to me last, I think it was Friday or Thursday that I did some crazy thing on Twitter that I was talking about that with the guys there, and something hit me. So if this happens once in every 12 years. Just to be clear, the last time that happened, it was Monterrey against Cruz Azul, 2009, the final leg. Like something told me that we're gonna be champion, right? And this feeling got back, but not on the form of we're gonna be champions, but on the way the way that Hugo is gonna pay his dude this game. Something is telling me to have the last shred of trust that we all have. It's just a little thread, like he's hanging on the like really, really thin thread. That one that he's gonna overcome a lot again. There's no Tigres here, so that's just helping mm-hmm. him. The planets are aligned.
Yeah, and no.
So
no.
Something is yeah, I just want to say that. So.
Yeah, no. It, like you said, there's no Tigres, but I mean, it's just go back to the game against Puebla, and like it was Puebla, and they still. It's just I'm not trying to bash on the guy. It's just like. I mean, even like people will say, "Well, Tigres is not." Well, the guy played against Puebla, and he did make he made one mistake where it's like, "Oh, you gotta have that."
We could go a little bit deeper in that particular game. If you remember the game, the mistake that he had was the reason why we went to the penalties, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then on the penalty shootout, he saved the first one.
Yeah.
So he kind of like right, he's wrong.
Wrong, yeah. Right?
But like immediately. So then I don't know who it was, because we don't care who missed.
Yeah,
the shot.
I don't even remember. All I know is I was angry, and I was just everybody had their pitchforks and torches ready to like throw Mohamed out of the stadium, because you know it was like, how the fuck do you lose to Puebla? And then I think Puebla was like the 11th or 12th team to qualify, so it was like they were really, it was like, it wasn't like Puebla was like, you know, the sixth team or fifth team. No, it was they were at the bottom. We'll see.
Even just you have to see the whole picture, right? Like the picture, mm-hmm. not the picture, but the whole picture. When we recall that game, we always seem to go to the Gonzalez mistake, which he made two mistakes. One that got us to the penalty shootout, and then on the actual penalty shootout, on the last one. That was the one that he kind of missed, jumped too much, or I don't know, but it was underneath him, the final shot. So he did two mistakes, but again.
Sometimes I wonder with him if it's just mental or like technique, because I thought maybe it was just mental, like, you know, he's just like, breaks down under pressure, but now like in this second tenure, it's like is it really like, is it his technique? Like I'm starting to wonder, like, what do you think? Like, do you think it's all mental, or what percentage would you say it's like mental, like he needs to like see a psychologist and just try to see if he can save himself, like, you know, when he deals with these type of pressure situations? Or do you think it's technique? Because I feel like there's been moments where it's like sometimes we think it's mental. Where do you lie on that discussion? Like, give me a percentage. What percentage do you think, you know, especially on this second stint, what percentage do you think his problem is, either, for example, 60% mental or 40% technique? Where are you on that discussion?
I think that it's at the moment, it's 50-50. I think that he still has a lot to overcome when it comes to his mentality, especially on clutch games. But again, as you said, this second tenure for him in Rayados, I kind of went a little bit farther when it comes to checking out his responsibility on the goals that we receive, or even on the saves that he does. And he has a really poor technique. You know who I remember when I see him? I remember a lot Jonathan Orozco before Nicolás Navarro. Like, Jonathan Orozco's first couple of games as a starting 11 was back in 2007, 8, around that time. He did a lot of the same mistakes. Like, the way he perceived the game wasn't the best way. Like whenever he had to go out and get across from the strikers, he always hesitated, and he kind of struggled with the actual posts that are on the sides of the goalkeeping thing. Hugo Gonzalez is doing the same thing. Now, the thing is that Jonathan was like 23, 24 years old. This guy is already...
He's 30. He's in his prime years. Like,
yes.
Like, in terms of goalkeeping, 23, 24 is like really, really young for a goalkeeper. Yeah. Like that... You know, you still have some room to grow, because usually goalkeepers don't come into their own until they're like 27, 28, and then they'll go further, and they can go all the way to like 35, 36, you know, and have a, you know, good run, a good decade of good quality goalkeeping. But yeah, this guy is in his 30s. He's supposed to be in the middle of his prime years. Like, this is what you see in Hugo Gonzalez is what you get. Like, there's no more. Maybe there's some room for growth, but at some point, you know, his habits are what they are. Like, you really, I mean, he can maybe, you know, shake them off, but at this point, he is what he is. Like, he's not going to get better than this.
That's the situation. Like I was trying to go back to that because a lot of people don't remember. They think that Jonathan Orozco was like that good, and he wasn't. He wasn't that good. Nicolás Navarro, who is a legend for the Texas goalkeeping back from the 90s, he was a champion against Celaya. Celaya had Butragueño, who's an all-star from Real Madrid. No, wait, that was Cruz Azul. I'm sorry. Well, whatever. So the point is that Nicolás Navarro came here, and then after that, he went to the national team to help the coach, and then he even got Orozco a call up to the national team. Mm-hmm. So basically, Orozco got that help from the best there is at the exact moment. And Hugo González, I don't see, aside of the fact that he went a little bit more to the gym, because he looks much more like Rip, right? When you compare it to the first 10 years,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that I don't see any improvement at all. But that's exactly what I think worries me. But I'm going to have a little bit of faith.
Yeah. Again. Well, there's nothing else he can do. Like, he has, like, I know people are going to be on him, but it's kind of justified. Like I said, that back line, it's two guys who are offensive-minded, one guy that's inexperienced, another guy that's old, and you have one guy that you know, Cesar Montes, that you can rely on. And I'm interested to see how Cesar Montes, too, takes that responsibility because, yeah, Nico Sanchez might be the captain or whatever, but it's pretty much Cesar Montes' back line to, like, anchor. He's really going to, like, I know he probably, like, respects Nico Sanchez, but at some point, and I know, I don't know who brought up this discussion. I think it was one on your Spaces, or I don't remember. It was on Twitter, but I forgot the source. You know, it's like, Cesar Montes isn't, like, I don't know if he ever will be, like, the vocal leader or, you know, start to, like, you don't have to be vocal, but at least start to be on people. Like, you know, the cameras aren't going to see when you're on someone for, like, missing an assignment or just being slow to react or whatever. But start taking charge of that back line because, yeah, there's Miguel Layún and Nico Sanchez who are veterans. But at some point, you just got to man up and say, you know what, you're really slower. You got to call out Gallardo if he's not, you know, on his man, or if he's venturing too far up and he's leaving Nico Sanchez having to, the you know, try to cover, you know, as he comes back. You know, I know the cameras aren't going to catch that, but I'm really hoping that at some point he starts saying, you know, and I get that there's veterans there in that back line, but at some point you got to start saying, you know what, you're messing up, you got to do this, you got to do that, and not just let that for the players who are pretty much part-time players now. Like, as much as we've liked what Miguel Layún has done these last two games, he's a part-time player now, and so is Nico Sanchez. And I'm just hoping that he starts being more vocal, not vocal, but, like, at least start taking command of that back line.
And he has to, because we obviously gonna point out that the fact that Nico's low and Miguel Layún is old, or whatever you wanna.
He's old, and likely he's gonna leave too in December. He has his contract up, so I mean, whether Cesar Montes stays back, you know, another campaign or not, I think that's something that European teams look at, because your center back, typically your leaders on a squad are your center backs. Like, mm-hmm. those, it's either a midfielder or a center back is usually, like, when you look at who is the captain of a team, it's usually a center back or a midfielder. So it's like, you know, you want to go to Europe, but you got, and I don't know, maybe Javier Aguirre has probably told him this or he hasn't told him this, but maybe just looking at European teams, like the quality ones, or like the ones he probably is aiming for, even at least like a mid-table, you know, well-known club, like, for example, Real Betis or something like that, you know, they'll probably look at, you know, I want a center back who's going to be able to lead. Can he do that? And that's something that he really needs to start doing. Whether, I don't know if he's whether he's intimidated by Layun and Nico Sanchez, but he really really needs to start, like, especially against, you know, the Santos game where it's a back line. But when you digest the back line, you realize how weak it is, and he's pretty much our only reliable one, and he's really going to be counted on. Especially with, you know, Hugo Gonzalez, like, I'm really counting on him to at least deliver two quality performances. Whether that's enough or not, it remains to be seen. But he really needs to, out of all the, whether it's the out of the five defenders and the goalkeeper, he really needs to be our best player. Just because there's so much there's questions with Hugo Gonzalez, and then we already know the weaknesses in that back line. He really needs to be our best player defensively. And no Sebastian Vegas there. We haven't mentioned that too. There's no Sebastian Vegas.
I was going to go there because I couldn't agree more with everything you said about Montes' leadership. I think this is the time where we're going to see if he's going to be a leader or not. Because if there's a time that you as a young player can say to the older ones that they have to keep up, is this time, is this moment, because you already know Nico's going to go, and you already know Layun is not going to stay here much. So you pretty much are the one who has to be the leader. You have to. But this gets me to why earlier on the 10 minutes that nobody's going to hear ever, you mentioned that the best two players of the season was Maximiliano Mesa and Sebastian Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
What Vegas did in the Clásico, which obviously we all applaud because we were frustrated, but once that goes away, that made me not count him as best player of the tournament. And for me, it's only Maxi, and that's it.
I think I read that tweet. I think I read that tweet where it's like, okay, what? And the suspension, like, I was expecting one game. I wasn't expecting two games because the referee got his feelings hurt. I was already preparing for one game, but then you throw on, like, he verbally abused, like, there's plenty of players that have verbally abused a player, and a player verbally abused the referee, and they didn't get two games on top of the one game. So it's like, I wasn't that caught me off guard that the league decided to spend Vegas just because the referee got his feelings hurt.
Yeah, but the thing is that you see how the hand is being dealt to Rayados when it comes to the referee situations, even the VAR situations. We're not coming ahead on anything.
Yeah.
So don't give them a reason to get your ass suspended for three freaking games. I mean, it's just a matter obviously we all agree that it was not fair. It was not supposed to be that much, even because you have, for instance, Carioca, who almost injured really bad two players. Well, America's player, and he got one game, and then when he punched Charlie Rodriguez on the face.
Yeah.
You got one game. So that was what got everybody even angrier. But again, once you vent that anger, you have to analyze the situation.
Yeah.
And you have to be like, that play, it wasn't even necessary to knock down Gignac. It was on the middle of the field. There was no situation. Then you go. You got lucky because you pretty much shoved the referee twice. So you could have easily gotten like six games easy
yeah.
because you shoved the referee. So the situation is that Vegas did what everybody as fans would have done, but nobody as a professional player should do. That's the difference.
Yeah.
And
no,
now we're left with these defenders that, as you said, only Montes is the only one that we can rely on. And of course, that even if Montes does a exceptional game,
he can't cover everything. Like he can't cover everything. We're gonna need good performances from. I don't even think good. I think okay from Nico and Adrian Mora, and I think Cesar and Hugo Gonzalez are gonna have to be the like when we're talking about the defending, those two are gonna have to be our best players. And if that, those that two, was, go ahead.
That was what Vegas got to us to think that he was really good, which he is. But remember that we were discussing on the beginning of the tournament and even last tournament that he was doing everything for everybody else as well. Like he was covering up for Nico's mistakes and basically he was doing that. So it is possible to be done. So I'm hoping Montes can do at least a little bit of trying to help situation understand that Nico's gonna have a mistake. So I think be ready for those mistakes as well.
No, I think the Layun and Gallardo, I think they're just gonna have to find their moments of when they can be aggressive and go up into the attack. Like they can't against Mazatlan, you saw, and I remember seeing the heat map. Miguel Layun was pretty much up, like he was way up. Like, and I get it; it's Mazatlan. You can take advantage of that. They're not gonna hurt you as much defensively as a Santos squad. So you can cheat a little bit. You can be a little bit more up. You can put defending on the back burner. You can just focus on attack. Because Mazatlan's not going to hurt you and Columbus Crew is not going to hurt you. But against Santos, they really are going to have to pick their spots of when they can venture up into the attack and whatnot. Because like we've discussed for the last 10 minutes, you just can't leave Nico on an island and expect him to try to, beat his man one-on-one or at least, cover for Gallardo if he ventures up. Like that's just has a recipe for disaster. But like we're agreeing that Cesar Montes is one of the players that we need to like rely on this matchup. But before we go on to one more thing, as we hit the 45-minute mark, and I want to leave like at least 15 minutes for the last topic. What's another player that you're gonna need them to step up? Like you're really like aside from like Vincent Janssen or Maxi Mesa, like obviously we know that we need those guys to step up. What's one player that you're looking at that you're thinking, okay, if we're gonna win, we need this player to at least be very good, at least not average, but at least very good because if our defense is leaky, we're gonna need some goals. So what's one player you're looking at? From the potential starting 11 that I told you that you're really like looking at and saying I'm gonna need like a really good performance over these next two legs from you.
I'm not gonna say I need that player that I'm gonna mention to be really good. I'm just hoping he remembers how to play football just a little bit. I need Charlie Rodriguez back. I need just a little bit of Charlie. I don't need Charlie against Liverpool. I need Charlie against America, which there was a big difference, obviously. I need Charlie to be really sharp because every counterattack that we're going to have is going to go through him. So you have to. Because let's face it, out of the entire offensive side, Ponchito Gonzalez he's on a great level. Maxi Mesa, obviously. Janssen, he's been good and bad, but mostly he can rely on.
Out of the strikers, he's doing good. Out of Rogelio Funes Mori and Aquiloba, his form is better. His form is better at the moment, and it appears that Aguirre is going with the hotter player, or at least the player that's at least in better form.
Yeah, so basically, out of the 11, the only one from the middle to the offensive side that we haven't seen on even okay-ish level, he hasn't been on it, is Charlie. So if we get a little bit of Charlie, if we get just a glimpse of what we saw on 2019, we're gonna be good. We're gonna be fine. We're gonna have no problem. But if we're going to have Celso Ortiz doing all the job, all the work, on the midfield, and then you're going to have only Montes doing all the work on the center backs, we're going to... I'm not to be an alarmist or anything, but we could end up eating at least 3 or 4 goals if we're not on point. So I'm just hoping that Charlie can remember a little bit of why he's there. And that would be the one that out of the starting 11, of course, that I need him to step up just a little bit so we can level the playing.
You need someone else besides Maxi Mesa trying to generate offense. And, you know, and he can do that for you. Charlie, as we've seen in the past, he can help generate offense. So you don't want Santos just being, okay, we'll mark Maxi Mesa and you beat us. We'll see. We'll take our chances with you. We'll try to pocket. We'll try to pocket. You know, Maxi Mesa. But you know, we'll have either Charlie Rodriguez or Vincent Janssen or Ponchito Gonzalez try to beat us. You know, defensively, I think that's what Santos might do. But what's your prediction? Let's go now. What's your prediction? What do you think is going to happen?
I think that on the first leg, we're gonna win at least by a 2-goal difference, at least. And here, we're going to be like, 2-1, 1-0. It's going to be a bit closer. But I because of what we were saying, that Santos has to be Santos on Thursday. And Monterrey is not worried if we don't have the actual ball, like we don't worry about it because we don't need the ball. We just need 3 touches and let's go. So with Maximus in that level and having Janssen gaining much more confidence and let alone that the coach choose you over Funes Mori, you have to be like, I think that those two guys are going to be on another level.
Yeah,
and that's why I'm thinking that we're gonna have a 2-goal difference on the first leg.
I think they're gonna come away. I think it's probably gonna be Monterrey coming out with either 3-1 or 4-2, like overall aggregate score. I think we're gonna have moments where we're frustrated because it's gonna be undeniable. But I think they'll come away with the win. They've taken care of Santos. Like Santos has been a little bit scary, but they've been able to take care of them in the past. So I'm hoping that trend continues. But before we close out the podcast, we got about 12 minutes. We're going to talk transfer rumors because there's a lot of stuff going out there. I told Pat I'm just going to ask you, what are the positions you think that Monterrey needs to upgrade? And not just upgrade. I'm gonna pose this question that I didn't pose to Pat. What's the positions where it's like, okay, this is the position where it's like you gotta spend more than $6-7 million, or at least $6-7 million. So give me the positions that really need an upgrade, and give me the ones where it's like, okay, this is the one where you gotta splurge on because you shouldn't go cheap on it. You shouldn't buy a player that's $2-3 million. You should really go for a player that's $6-9 million. So give me your positions that need to upgrade.
Well, definitely we need somebody on the left wing offensively. We need a Maxi Mesa with the left foot. But I think we can go local on that. We can definitely buy somebody from for instance Cruz Azul, Cajita Rodriguez, or I don't know. Whoever, there's a guy on Tijuana that can do that. He always looks good against Monterrey. So we need to have somebody on the left side to even the playing field and just don't have just Maxi on the right side and that's it. But definitely we need to have, let's say that if we have 10 million, I would spend 1 million on a left wing and 9 million on a goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. We need a goalkeeper like we haven't needed anything else in the last 20 years. We need a world-class goalkeeper. There's nothing much here in Mexico when it comes to Mexicans.
Yeah, no, they're going to have to go abroad. They're going to have to find a foreign goalkeeper, and they're going to have to sacrifice one of the foreign spots, because out of the Mexican goalkeepers, there's not nobody like... they're either too young to be giving this. I like the guy from Necaxa. He's really, really good, but I think he's really, like, he's only 24 years old, and I'm too hesitant to give him, you know, anything, just because, you know, I think that's too young for, you know, for a goalkeeper, at least for, you know, for Monterrey's expectations. You kind of want a keeper, like you said, someone that's top class, someone I think for me has national team experience, or at least has been around their national team. So I think, you know, I want that. Like, and that should always be the standard too. Like, when you're Monterrey's pursuing transfer targets, they should grab players who are national, who are either national team players or are playing for their national team or have the potential to be national team players. Like, they shouldn't be buying scrubs, you know. Just because you need that position filled, you shouldn't be getting a scrub, you know. So, but go ahead. Exactly. What other positions do you think need to be upgraded? So, just those two, or what other positions do you think?
So, well, those two to begin with, when it comes to the starting 11, when it comes to the idea that Aguirre has shown us how he wants to play, which is 4-3-3, we definitely need somebody on the left side, and we most certainly need a goalkeeper. Other than that, we're gonna need, because of the circumstances, we're gonna need a right back, and we're gonna need another center back. I think that if it is not on this transfer window for at least in December, we're gonna have two big time players going from those positions. So we might as well start looking now.
Mm-hmm. No, I pretty much agree with you. I think for me, obviously, everybody knows it's a left winger and a goalkeeper. For me, I'm thinking of do you trust Jesús Gallardo? Because there's sometimes where it's antics, like, get people to laugh, but then there's others where it's, like, frustrating. And it's like, bro, what are you doing? Like, the game against Pachuca where he gets, like, two silly fouls. And, yes. And then he uploads, I think it was that Pachuca, where he uploads something on Instagram and he says some dumb shit. And then he's, like, also forgetting his passport. And it's just, like, you know, he's a quality player. He can play for Mexico, but at some point, you know, you kind of need somebody that's going to push and give him competition. And, you know, I think it was Felipe Galindo of IAS reported that, again, Monterrey is eyeing, you know, Chicote Calderón. Whether that's true or not, that remains to be seen. But it appears that it might be just a local guy to just push Gallardo, you know, not get him too comfortable. But do you think we know the left back? Because I think, like I said, you don't need to buy an expensive left back. You just need to buy someone that's going to push Gallardo, or at least, you know, get his brain straight, you know, because there's moments where he looks really, really good. And it's like, yeah, this is why he plays for Mexico. And then there's others where it's like, what the fuck are you doing, dude? It's like so frustrating to watch. But what do you think? Do you think they'll go with that? Do you think, you know, a left back is at least to give him some type of competition? Because I feel like he's getting too complacent.
We need to have him under pressure, because his personal life is so good right now that it's messing his professional life. Just one step at a time. So I think we definitely need somebody, as you said, maybe not to bench him, but most definitely to have him know that
somebody can take his job. Somebody can take his job. Like, if he
stops, I'm gonna be out of here. Yeah, exactly. So for Real's sake, I would definitely go for a left back. The only thing is that well, you mentioned Chicote. I don't like him at all. At all. I don't like how he plays, because it's Gallardo, but with less quality. Like, he only knows how to go forward. He doesn't know how to defend. But he's even worse than Gallardo. Yeah. So I don't like him at all.
The only thing I said on Twitter that may be interesting is that he'll come cheap. Like, if I'm on today, I'm not paying crazy. I'm like, I'm doing you a favor to Chivas. Like, your young players are that environment. So that environment there is so toxic that you gave all these young players pretty much the key to the club, and they haven't done shit. So it's like, I'm doing you a favor. I'm taking a player. I'm just hoping maybe having Calderon with like Aguirre and actual professional players, like, you know, yeah, Stefan Medina, fucking Maxi Mesado, Helio Funes Mori. Like, these guys are professional players. So they're not going out there getting drunk. Like, yeah, I mean, Hugo Gonzalez did something stupid, but even then, it wasn't like to the extent of what the fucking Chivas players were doing. Just, you know, like, it was, yeah, it was family members, and it was like Doron Pavon, who lives like right in his block, you know. So it wasn't that, like, yeah, it was stupid, but, you know, it wasn't fucking like, you know, what Chivas players were doing. So you're going to be surrounded with either a world-class, you know, manager that's not going to put up with that stupid shit, and then you're going to be surrounded with professionals and not immature players. So, I mean, that's the only thing that I can sense, that maybe that's what they're thinking. Because, like, I'm not his biggest fan, but I can understand they're trying to buy low and build him up and see maybe they can get something out of him. That's my only, like, reasonable explanation. Because, I mean, you've seen the Chivas environment. It's toxic, and it's young players that pretty much haven't proven anything. And, you know, it's like nobody holds them accountable. There's no professional players there. So I'm just thinking maybe they get him out of that environment and into this, and they, you know, turn, you know, he's still a young player, and then maybe turn his, like, you know, just a flash, you know, something goes up. But that's my only reasonable explanation to that.
Two things about what you just said. One, I just hope Chivas fans doesn't hear what you just said about
the club. I would tell. I think they're the equivalent of Arsenal, who were big in the 2000s, but now they're not facing reality that they're irrelevant. They're irrelevant. Like, they're irrelevant. They're Arsenal. They're the Mexican Arsenal, and I'll say that because that's what they are. Like, dude, you won one title with fucking Almeida, and you're still like pining for him. It's like the freaking ex that left you and got married with someone else, and you're still pining for them. And it's just, bro. Like, I'm being serious. Like, they're the Mexican Arsenal. We're in 2021, and they still think fielding a club or with just Mexican players, not even the best ones at their position, is going to get them somewhere. So it's just like, you know, like I said, they handed the keys to the club to like a bunch of young immature players, and now they're going on their third manager. And I don't know, maybe this is just me being, you know, softy for Vucetich, but, you know, they're looking at their players, and they're like, and all their fans are saying, well, it's the manager's fault. It's like, bro, you guys have a core of young, immature players who haven't done anything, and they think they own the city. What do you expect? You know, it's like it's like a spoiled rich kid. And that, you know, that's the way I say it. They're like spoiled rich kids.
I get where you're coming from. I mean, I obviously get it. And I really like the picture you painted with the management trying to get him, get Chicote on the low and try to turn it around and make him a decent player. And then maybe in the future, even, I don't know, sell him or have him go on the starting 11. But I do see why you think that, because you are intelligent. But I don't see our management thinking that. That's the only problem is that I don't think they have that reach. I don't think they have that that mindset to go about that type of businesses. So, I mean, it sounds good when you say it, but let's face it, it isn't because of that. It could be for a lot of reasons.
I'm just hoping they don't go. It would be really stupid if they like spend big on a player that obviously Chivas wants to sell, or at least considering selling, and, you know, there's not a lot. You know, nobody's offering more than like $2 million for the player, and then you go out there and spend $5 million. So it's like, I'm hoping they just. That doesn't leak out, because then I would just be like, okay, these people are really stupid, and not very good business people.
Yeah, you said it. You said it.
But go ahead.
Yeah, it could be it could be that they have that plan for him. I would if that's the situation, I would think that it's more so of Aguirre's team to do that, like find a player that you can, how you say diamante en bruto, like polish the diamond.
Yeah, diamond in the rough. Diamond in the rough. You want someone who you're paying low. Like it's like the Sebastian Vegas. Like yeah, Vegas was already exactly. known for with Morelia, but they did really good business. They only got him for like what $4 million. So it was like really good, and it was a loan. Like it was a loan with an option to buy, and they obviously triggered that. So it's like that was a good business move. You know, it's I'm hoping that more of those type of moves come up. And just the last position, I would think I would like to see an upgrade or at least an addition, is central midfielder, because the same reasons why you said against Gallardo. I think Charlie Rodriguez's personal life has become too much of a not a distraction. Like obviously he can live his personal life, but when your personal life starts affecting your professional life or vice versa, that's when it's kind of like, okay, what is this player doing? I would, again, it's not a position I would spend big on. You know, being a quality player that can at least push Ponchito and Charlie Rodriguez. If he stays, I don't know if he'll have a European offer or not, but you want someone that's going to push both of them, because Ponchito has been great this season, but it's only been one season, and you don't want him to like get, you know, keep going. Don't just settle and be this player. I think there's a little bit more to get from him, and obviously Charlie Rodriguez, you know, just someone that can, you know, put pressure on them and can unsettle them if they lose their position. So it's just like those two would be like left back and central midfielder would be like death pieces. I wouldn't pay that much for, but it's just players that you can count on too, and like at least put some type of pressure on them. Do you have any players? Go ahead.
The situation here that kind of like baffles me is that we're thinking of two players to help these two players that we already have, that we already know they are good, but because of some stupid way of thinking, they're not showing him on the field. So
they're too inconsistent, and you just can't have that, because when the team's inconsistent, we get results like they did against Chivas, against Pachuca. Yeah. Like this team should have been third. Like there's no Puebla should not have finished ahead of them. Like it's not. But when you drop points against Chivas, when you drop points against Pachuca, that's when you point and realize like that's where they should have been those. That's where you know they lost third place. Like looking at those two games, that's where they lost third place, and they let Puebla, you know, leap over them.
Yeah, it is. I couldn't agree more.
Just closing it out. Give me. I'll go with four players. Give me two players that you really want. Like you think, okay, they can grab these players. Like there's no denying that they can. And two players that you're hoping they grab. Give me two names or four names. Two that you know they can get just because they're Monterrey, and two that you're hoping that either you've heard or you think that move would make sense for them.
Okay. Well, the first one obviously is Cabecita Rodriguez from Cruz Azul. I think that we definitely are on the level of as a team to get a player like that, because he's, even though he's on the top, the top switched at least 20 years ago. So now the top is here.
They're behind Cruz. Like they're still playing in Cruz. I mean, they're still playing in America Stadium. Like that stadium will never be theirs until they get their own. So it's like, yeah, you're at the top. You're the best in the league, but you're in terms of the city, like you're always gonna be behind America. Like at least Monterrey can be first in their city just because of the stadium, the facilities, and all that.
Yeah, everything that's around it actually is around the actual team. Well, that one and. Another one that I think that we can get, but that one is just solely through money. and that's their role. He doesn't want to go out of Brazil. He as I understand, he actually went there because he wants nothing to do with Mexico. But if we approach correctly that situation, meaning that Monterrey is not Querétaro, Aguirre is not Bucetich, Funes Mori is not, who was there? I think it, I don't know who was the striker for them. So see what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's not, you're not going to like a team that might not be, that is rumored to not be here anymore in a couple of years. So you're like, you're not going to a team
like that. So those two, obviously it's easier for Monterrey to get Cabecita because they already talk. But Thiago Volpi is somebody that if they try as hard as they tried to get Pedro Abreu, they're definitely going to get him. Because Pedro Abreu was like the rising star for the Brazilian football league, and they managed to get to him instead of Real Madrid or Manchester United, who were after him. How did you accomplish that? Just throwing money
That's it. And not to cut you off before we gotta end. Sao Paulo sold one of their best young players to FC Cincinnati for like $13 million. That team, that club needs money. Like all Brazilian clubs need money. Like they're like, it's not as strong financially because of the pandemic, and like, not to sound fucked up, but you gotta take advantage. Like the business side, you gotta take advantage of that and be like, we know, like, you sold one of your best young players to, like, MLS, you know, because they gave you the most money. Like, it wasn't because, oh, well, we're trying to guide him to Europe. No, you sold him because FC, like, I'll show it, like, if anybody needs it. Like, they sold Brenner. That's his name, Brenner. Because I remember PSG was rumored in him, but they sold him to FC Cincinnati for $13 million. That was one of, like, he's only, like, 18 years old, and it's because they needed the money. Because they have Danny Alves. They have Danny Alves, and they still owe him like his image rights, that or the image fees or whatever that they charge. So this team really needs money. So like, if Monterrey can like throw money at Volpi and say, hey, come over here, and you know, the club will probably be like, okay, we probably need the money. Can you go? Because we need the money. Can you go?
Can you roll, please? that would be funny, like Volpi. So we like you, know, but
we need the money. We gotta pay bills here.
what I've read about the situation is like this. Like the breakdown is like this. Sao Paulo paid 4.5 million euros. To get Volpi, right? Back in 2019.
Before the pandemic. And, before coronavirus. We're talking about a pre-coronavirus world.
Yeah, of course. But then, the how do you say la cláusula de rescisión? The
release clause.
Release clause, thank you. The release clause, they set it up to be 40 million. 40, like. 40 million.
Yeah, 40. Yeah. Usually Brazilian teams do that. They'll put on an outrageous. That's mostly for like European teams, you know, when they know like a player has like, you know, European interests, they'll slap on a ridiculous release clause on a player, and then the European club doesn't pay that. They'll negotiate, and you know, usually they'll get the player, but yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was breaking down, that the actual amount that Sao Paulo wants for Volpi, at least what a journalist from there broke down, it was 10 million. Which that's why when you asked me before who in what position would I spend more, it is the goalkeeping. So If you have to spend 10 million on Volpi, just spend it. Yeah, just spend it. Don't think about it. Just go for it, and let's just if that means that you're not able to bring Cabecita Rodriguez, and so be it. We need more a goalkeeper than anything else.
Yeah.
We can have a way to navigate.
But also,
tournament.
Monterrey can do another. They can do a loan with an option to buy. Like, I don't understand how clubs in Brazil can like grab all these quality players and say, okay, we'll pay 50% of the player's, you know, economic rates, and then we'll pay the other 25% later. It's just like, I get that's a little shady, but it's like, you know, some of these clubs really need the money, and they're not going to be like, we're not going to do that. It's like, bro, you're privately owned. Flex your damn financial muscle. And like, I get, you know, the agamaloso bien, but still, it's just like, you're rich, and a lot of teams need money. Like, use that to your advantage. It's like, you know, be sharks in a business. Like, dude, Argentina. You know, I don't know. It's just they can. You don't have to like buy a player right now. Like, you can, like they did with Vegas. Like, they got the loan. You know, they paid like what, $1-2 million fee for the loan, and then they bought the player the following transfer one. It's like, why can't you do that? Like, go all in with the goalkeeper, but then for the left winger, try to negotiate, you know, a loan with an option to buy. You know, pay the $2-3 million, you know, loan fee or whatever, and then sign the player the next summer, or pay for the player the next summer. It's just like, you just don't have to just throw, you know, the transfer sum in one window. You know, it's just, I don't know. Yeah.
Basically, we have ways to go about it, but as we all know, the strength of not only Rayados but pretty much every Mexican club, when it comes to star players, our strength is not to negotiate. Actually, we just like go there and so how much is it, like, oh well, it's 145 million, all right, here you go, let's go. So there's no way around that. But yeah, basically that would be it. And the two, because you asked me for the two that it's really hard or it's really just a dream, right? It would be the return of Jesus El Tecatito Corona, which is not going to happen now. But there's been rumors that his family, not him, but his family wants to go back to Monterrey. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason why that that would make sense, because he's a family devoted person. So his wife really wants to go back to Mexico, at least to Monterrey. So that would be one, but it's really far-fetched. I don't see that happening.
Yeah.
It's like the second best.
Especially now, guy. Yeah, especially, yeah, he's really good in Portugal, and he's one of the better players on Porto. And, you know, there's a World Cup coming, so I think maybe after the World Cup, it becomes more of a reality. But right now, like, I haven't checked their standings. They're likely gonna play in Champions League, and I think he wants to use that, you know, to like keep him in form for the World Cup in 2022, because I think he has, I think he probably is Mexico's better player. I know some people will say Chucky Lozano, but I think when he's balling and when he's feeling it, he's like, there's nobody that can dance around fucking defenders one on one. You know, it's I think he probably has that in mind. And then after that, I think that it might be a reality. It could become a reality. I mean, I wouldn't, if he's 30, 31 years, I think he's 28 going on 29 or something like that. I gotta look at his age. He's in his late 20s. You know, if you can get him for like 31, 32, maybe 33 years old, depending on how his game ages, I would do it, maybe for like 1 or 2 years, like they did with Layún. But other than that, like, you know, it'll probably have to wait until after 2022.
Yeah. It is like that. I mean, so it is the that makes sense, right? So, but just to throw out what I have
yeah.
seen and heard, the there's a lot of things that are just bullshit, right? Like, you can see it right away. Like, I saw recently somebody said, Gigi Buffon, fuck out of here.
Oh my god. Okay, last thing before we go. Stop. If you're looking on transfer market and looking at free transfers, please stop doing that. Like, please. Like, there's more to that than just saying, oh, this player's gonna be on a free transfer. Like, there's more. Yeah. This isn't FIFA. You gotta convince a player to come. And the reason let me just say it, the only reason people are Monterrey supporters are doing that is because Tigres got Tovan. And yes, they spent a lot of money, but they also had Gignac who played with them at Marseille. So you have somebody here that can help him get, you know, acclimated with the team, acclimated with the city, and who he's comfortable with. That's another part, you know, the entire thing just wasn't money. You know, the other part was, okay, I'm going somewhere that has someone that I'm familiar with, that I can trust, that I value their opinion, that I played with. You know, that's the other half along with the money. It's not just looking at transfer market and saying this player is free. And also, double check. Just because a player has their contract expiring doesn't, you know, for transfer market isn't going to show that they have a pending transfer or a pending contract agreement with another team. Like you know, they had Reece Silva out there, and it's like, well, he has a contract agreement, you know, handshaking agreement with Betis that he's going to go there. So it's like, you know, please stay off of transfer market. And if you're going to do transfer market, look up.
We have been through this, like, what?
2019. That's the last time that happened. Like, you know, people were saying Balotelli, and it was like,
I want to be perfectly clear about the following. As well, rumor has it that Monterrey is actually, they're doing their job to have somebody come here from overseas, but they're doing it on a level that goes above Davino. Remember Vincent Janssen? Davino had nothing to do with that. So they're trying to replay that play.
Yeah.
The only thing that I know is that nobody knows who it is.
Yeah.
Like, nobody. Like, that's the only thing that we all know, that nobody knows who it is.
Yeah.
So that's it. But I'm not gonna sit here and say Julian Draxler is coming. I mean,
extended with PSG, and he just extended with, he signed a 3-year contract. That's, you know, he just, like I said, just because it says his contract expiring doesn't, you know, transfer market doesn't put any handshake agreements that they have with either another team or the team that they're currently playing on. Like, they're not going to report that news. It's not going to be on there. So Don't look dumb by just saying go after this player without double checking on Google and saying, oh, this player has a contract agreement with this team. And then, like I said, it takes more than that. Like, it takes more than just throwing money at a player from Europe.
If it was that easy, anybody could be a fucking manager, bro.
Yeah. Here's a lot of money. Come over here.
So, I mean,
Vincent Janssen was more impressive because he had nobody, and I kind of like, you know, he wasn't going to go anywhere, but you know, he didn't know the area, he didn't know the city, he didn't know anybody, so that transfer kind of makes it a little bit more impressive, just because there was nobody with familiarity of, you know, him, you know, nobody was familiar with him over here.
You have now that in your favor. You can use Janssen to bring somebody. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Yeah, use him to bring Son. I don't know his first. I'm not going to pronounce his first name, but bring.
Let me see Korean.
Mexicans are good with Koreans, so might as well use that, like, alliance and say, come over here. Come. go to Mexico City and use the Korean ambassador that they were throwing, like, in 2018, the Korean ambassador that they were throwing up in the air.
When they won against Germany, yeah.
Use him. Tell him, hey, come over here. Robuzz, anything else you want to add as we sign off?
Yeah. Of course, as always, I want to shout out to Marrompistas. We have finally reached the 12K mark on Twitter. We just did it, like, I think it was yesterday. this last couple of weeks, because all of those rumors, it kind of blew up again, the account, which we do appreciate. Big shout out to Pat, obviously, to you, Eddie. I just hope that next week we're talking about possibly
semifinals. Hopefully.
And of course, that we're not discussing Hugo Gonzalez shitting himself again. So that's my only hope.
Other than that,
thank you for having me again.
It's always good to have you. I know we're reaching towards 100 episodes, and once we do our 100th episode, that is where I'm gonna try to get both you and Pat, just for old time's sake. For old time, that would be the 100th episode. But for Rompas, I know Pat has a new podcast covering Liga MX in English, so check that out. I forgot what it's called. I retweeted it on the Twitter account. It's called. I retweeted it, and it was actually pretty good. It was pretty good.
Nice, bro. You're nice. Not good.
Shut it out. For Rompas, I'm Eddie. Thanks for listening. And we'll hopefully next week we'll be talking about semifinals. So thanks for listening, and bye.